The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
John is after getting in touch on 087 1400 106. Kieran, I cannot believe some parents might permit teens to do nothing around the house. No help, no phone credit, no pocket money, no designer crap. Come on, parents. It's essential training for them too. You are their parent, you are not their friend. Lord save us, says John. But John, Ella in Limerick says, Kieran, we took a completely different approach. We discouraged our kids from working part-time until they finished college. We saved hard over the years, sent them off on J1s and interrailing and backpacking to sample the world before climbing into the hamster wheel of work for 45 years. John, I like the sound of that. 087 1400 106. Somebody else says, La Marseillaise is no Ireland's call, but it's all right. All this, I go away out of that. That's just someone trying to rise me. The Marseillaise is the greatest national anthem on the planet. Hands down. Close second, the old Soviet anthem. You don't say that anymore, given what's happening in the world. Anyway, the old Soviet anthem is incredible. What anthem rounds out the top three? That's a good question, actually. I hadn't thought of that. Right, suggestions. Suggestions on 087 1400 106. Top three national anthems. And I've helped by already picking one and two. 087 1400 106, the number. Now, as I mentioned right at the start of the show today, we are heading to Paris on Friday. Special edition of the Hard Shoulder, celebrating our Olympic glory right from the heart of the city of love. Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball is there ahead of us. Ger, before we talk about this morning on the track and the boxing ring tonight, tell me about last night. You were at this, what was it, Champions Catwalk?
So it's a very, very, very French idea. It was on in the same place. I don't know if everybody was still watching for the boring bit of the speeches during the opening ceremony, but they have this very, again, very French purpose-built thing where they've a catwalk in the shape of the Eiffel Tower, which really wasn't used that much on the night of the opening ceremony. Nadal handed the torch to Zidane, or vice versa, whatever the order of that was. And that was where they had this new thing called the Parade of Champions, where I'm fairly sure tickets are free if you register for them. But they've been selling out. And I think they've been selling out because the French started to win early. And what it is anybody who's won a medal is entitled to come. And they're hosted for an event before they're introduced to the crowd. There are DJs, there are bands, there is a hype man. And they get plied with Moët, was how Dara Walsh explained it to us afterwards. And basically all of the Irish medal winners were coming at exactly the same time yesterday. So I'm actually at the velodrome, and that's the noise of the bikes over my head, because I'm unfamiliar with about to start there. So
okay, I think they stopped there. They were just doing two quick laps, obviously. So
I'm outside now.
Okay, so that, well, it's kind of deafening. So anyway, tell me, you were there for it.
Yeah, so all the Irish winners were all scheduled to go last night at exactly the same time. And I've got to say, such an ebullient, happy bunch of people you're never going to meet again in your life. The swimmers were at first. And just before the swimmers were there, Novak Djokovic was making a speech to the crowd about how this was the most important thing that had ever happened in his life. All the Grand Slams, all the tennis tournaments he's won, that winning the Olympic gold medal was the thing that meant the most to him. Which, do you know what? I'm kind of a skeptic when it comes to almost everything Djokovic says and stands for, off the court in particular. But I did totally believe that he was telling the truth when he was saying that. And he repeated it again in the mix zone afterwards. But the Irish crew were literally having the time of their lives. They were meeting the rowers in particular, met all of the other rowers who they'd been on the circuit with for the last 3 years. And that turned into a mosh pit. So there was a giddiness there for them. And the swimmers were also brilliant. Daniel Whitten came out and was, as usual, very confident, but actually increasingly beguiling. He's so kind of self-aware of the confidence that he's almost apologetic about being non-apologetic. But Mona McSharry kind of confirmed when we asked her, like, you know, we're terrible ones for going, what's next? What are you going to do next? We thought she was going to take a break and then, you know, put her head down and prepare for an Olympics in the US and in California, in LA in 4 years' time. But she laughed and was basically like, hey. The sense we got was no way, no way.
Wow. Wow. Okay. She's very young, isn't she?
Yes, 23, 24, 23, right. She'll be 27. She's 1 year left in college. So maybe that year in college goes so well, she really enjoys it. And there's a funding pathway to make her life not miserable. Because bear in mind, none of these athletes who are representing us at the moment are well off. None of them, it's a struggle for them to make ends meet in many respects. We're still miles behind other countries when it comes to rewarding medals and funding. We could still do more, certainly the government perspective. And I know I've been banging on about that every time we've been talking like this, but it's totally true.
So let's talk then about the track this morning. So we had a number of athletes. We had Sarah Healy and Sophie O'Sullivan running in the 1500s, and they're both through to the repechage round. Actually, they didn't get through.
Yeah, exactly. They were both very unfortunate. I think both ended up finishing seventh and put in excellent runs. I saw that Sophie managed to run almost exactly the same time as her mum did in Barcelona in the same event, and all the way back in 1992.
Amazing.
That was more than enough for Sonia to qualify from Hurry, but not enough for Sophie. And then we also had Charlene Maudsley not running another PB, which she would have needed to do, or maybe even go faster to come out of the repechage in the 400. So she's now left to rue not being in the right quarterfinal, and we'll miss the semi-final tomorrow when we see Rashida back out again. But they do still have the 4x4 to look forward to at the weekend.
Yeah, and Sophie Becker, yeah, she was out as well in the repechage. And it was nice to see her getting closer to her PB after the last couple of runs as well. I think that was her second fastest time ever she ran this morning in her round in the repechage. Before we talk about Kelly tonight, Kelly, since you brought her up, and I love to talk about her, I mean, Rashida, it's just... Oh my God, it was incredible. Because you and I were talking about this only about a week ago, and like I was nervous about how people were kind of clocking up these medals and doing the tally. And Rashida was probably the person I was most nervous about, that there would be this awful backlash if things didn't go well. I mean, it couldn't have been a better start. We're a long way still from an Olympic medal, but that couldn't have been a better start.
We are a long way still from an Olympic medal. And I think maybe your caution was correct, because the other heats were full, absolutely stacked of athletes who have run similar times and are running very well as well. This is definitely one of the deepest events. I mean, if we've been previewing, 100 metres obviously turned out to be quite deep, but the person who was the favourite to win it won it in the men's side. There was depth a little bit in the female 100. The 800 female last night was won by the outstanding talent in the field. This women's 400, the semi-finals and finals, there are four or five potential gold medal winners, and Rashida is among them, although you'd say she's more likely to be fighting it out for maybe second or third at this stage. But, you know, she's going to have to run the race of her life. We talked to her briefly afterwards, and she was, like, still panting hard, and that was a good 15, 20 minutes. So it does take so much out of you, and it's great that she has it over. That was her Olympic debut. She hadn't done the four mixed. We know that they didn't send her to Japan. Maybe that was a mistake. But anyway, no need to relitigate the old ones. I do think that I think that people seem to have got quite complacent about Wickham showing up to pick up his second gold.
Yeah.
And it turns out everybody has decided that this week is the most important week in their lives for the next few years. And so we need to bear that in mind when we're thinking about who she's up against in particular.
Yeah, so listen, she's out in the semis tomorrow, but then tonight we are definitely picking up a medal. We can say that, guaranteed. It's just a question of colour. So what can you tell us about Kelly Harrington and her opponent and the likely outcome?
Well, Kelly has boxed better each fight that she's fought in the course of the tournaments. And she's come up against opponents who are tricky, who she's had some difficulty with in the past, and she has shown signs of progression in terms of conditioning, her footwork, her pace and her power and technique. Like, everything that you would want from a technical and tactical perspective, she's ticked those boxes. And so she is the favourite, but she has lost to Yang in the past. And again, you know, something goes wrong, it's in the lap of the judges. You really want this to be as clear-cut a victory as possible so that she doesn't get done in any way. So that's one of the outcomes that could happen. She could win the fight but not get the medal. The other outcome is that the other fighter might end up having the fight of her life, and we are talking about an Olympic final here. So that's still a potential. But you'd have to say she is the strong favourite for the reason that she's been so spectacularly successful over her entire career. Like, she is the best fighter in this field. She is the class of the competition. And I think it'll be her 101st victory as an amateur fighter if she wins tonight, which is a really stunning achievement over the course of that time. And it felt like it was a release of pent-up energy after the semifinal victory, that that was the moment where she's now free to be relaxed and more present. It definitely felt like, you know, you were watching her compare and contrast with the opponents in the build-up to the two fights. And it seemed like she was in her head, definitely, and felt the pressure of being the defending champion and everything else that's gone on in the meantime, you know. So, yeah, again, I would say don't get complacent, because these are definitely golden times. And for example, if that is the MVC of Mona McSherry, what an incredible career she's had, you know. Like, maybe she swings one more year for Ireland and calls it a day, or maybe she changes her mind. But, like, Kelly Harrington, this is the end of her international career. She's kind of said that she might box nationals for a few years afterwards. Maybe she has her head turned for the professional offer, but that seems very unlikely at this stage, although back-to-back gold medals would be the type of thing that you could certainly set a few seats on.
Yeah, certainly. Listen, it is exciting. And one way or the other, after the fight tonight, it will officially become our most successful Olympic Games in terms of medal count, which is something we might reflect on down the road. I'll let you back into the velodrome, Ger. Thanks a million.
No worries. Cheers.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.